dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host. We're going to be guiding you through an important installment of the War of Ideas here at Secure Freedom Radio. We'll be talking with Carolyn Glick from the Jerusalem Post and Latma about a frightening new prospect, namely that the Palestinian Authority, as it's called, is about to declare itself an independent state, and the Obama administration will recognize them as such. What are the implications of that, not just for peace in the Middle East, but for us and our vital interests? We'll be getting into that in segment two with Carolyn Glick. Then segment three, Carolyn will be followed by Claudia Rosette talking about yet another set of difficulties arising from those who adhere to and promote Sharia, as many do in the Palestinian Authority, namely a new scandal that is brewing in the United Nations, the power plays of the Organization of the Islamic Conference and Iran that are putting this so-called world body in the service of our enemies at your expense. We'll be discussing that with one of the great investigative journalists of our time and a real expert on the United Nations, Claudia Rosette of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. And finally, in segment four, Congressman Ted Poe, who is a leading congressional expert on immigration and a former Texas judge, will explain to us the new ruling that is now enjoining part of Arizona's immigration law on the eve of its entering into operation, and what that injunction will mean, not just for the enforcement of this law, but for all of us. So that will be coming up with Congressman Poe at segment four. But first, comments from me about two contrasting pictures. One involving a former member of Congress, the Speaker of the House, as a matter of fact, Newt Gingrich, and the other, a serving United States Senator, John Kerry, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Newt Gingrich has recently taken center stage in the fight against Sharia. In so doing, he has demonstrated a courage as well as a vision that is heartening, very heartening indeed, for those of us who have been warning for some time now about the threat posed to all of us by this comprehensive totalitarian program that the authorities of Islam seek through jihad to impose worldwide. And Congressman Gingrich, starting with remarks that he gave, statement I should say, that he gave last week in connection with the growing furor over the Ground Zero Mosque, and then in a very important op-ed piece he wrote in the Human Events newspaper yesterday and today in remarks at the American Enterprise Institute, has helped really calibrate what is going on here and what the implications would be were we not to recognize that, as he puts it, radical Islamism is more than simply a religious belief. It is a comprehensive political, economic, and religious movement that seeks to impose Sharia, Islamic law, upon all aspects of global society. And Speaker Gingrich goes on to identify the creeping Sharia, this stealth jihad, if you will, as a particularly worrisome manifestation of this agenda. And in so doing has stitched together, as does our friend and colleague Andy McCarthy in his new book, The Grand Jihad, the implications, particularly over time, of things like this Ground Zero mosque, things like Sharia-compliant finance, things like the effort to use Sharia to apply U.S. criminal law in New Jersey and elsewhere. What is so important is that we now have in Congressman Gingrich a standard bearer for a sensible, thoughtful, and informed pushback against the efforts to insinuate Sharia in this country. And we salute Congressman Gingrich. We look forward to his further comments and leadership in this effort, and we will be working closely with him here at Secure Freedom Radio, you can be sure. This contrasts rather sharply with the role being played by the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Far from strengthening America's, I think, security, far from correctly understanding the threats to it, Senator John Kerry is now pushing forward with a hasty and, I think, inadequately informed consideration and vote by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and I think he has in mind by the Senate itself, of a treaty on strategic arms, the so-called New START Treaty that President Obama signed several months ago in Prague. This is a defective treaty. This is a treaty that does not adequately provide, as does the national strategy more generally of this president, the nuclear posture review, does not adequately provide for our nuclear deterrent. It makes deep cuts in that deterrent. It imposes, this treaty does, effectively limitations on our missile defenses. It leaves Russia with many more nuclear weapons than the United States would be entitled to have. And it creates the perception that we're actually doing something about such serious threats as proliferation and the rising nuclear capabilities of threatening states like communist China and Iran and North Korea that is entirely misplaced. This treaty is a mistake. It should not be rushed through. Members of the United States Senate should be encouraged to ensure that they have the negotiating record, that they have a real modernization program for our nuclear forces, and that they are not buying a pig in a poke with respect to this treaty. I hope we'll see out of the Senate more leadership of the kind Congressman Gingrich is exhibiting at the moment with respect to Sharia. But we'll need your help in doing so. Those are my thoughts. Love to hear yours. SecureFreedomRadio.com or the Frank Gaffney Facebook or Twitter accounts are the ways you can get in touch. Next up, we have Carolyn Glick on the prospect of a Palestinian state being unilaterally declared. What would it mean? How dangerous will it be?
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at SecureFreedomRadio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. 888-393-7513.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stack.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are talking to Carolyn Glick from her forward deployed location on Capitol Hill. Carolyn, it's great to have you with us as always.
It's always great talking to you, Frank. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for joining us again. Carolyn is, of course, the Jerusalem Post columnist and the driving force behind the fabulous Latma website based in Israel, and she is Center for Security Policy Senior Fellow for the Middle East. And it's in connection with the Middle East, of course, that we want to talk with you, Carolyn. There seems to be growing evidence that the Obama administration is now pushing inexorably forward with an agenda that would wind up recognizing a Palestinian state, irrespective of whether the Palestinians have come to some kind of settlement, formal understanding and treaty or agreement with the Israelis. What is that evidence, and what would the implications be were that to eventuate?
Well, you know, we had this really surprising weekend news dump on Friday where a Palestinian website announced that the United States had just upgraded the diplomatic status of the PLO delegation here in Washington. And the Palestinians claimed that the Americans had decided not only can the Palestinians fly the PLO flag outside of their mission, but that it can, its representatives will also be granted diplomatic immunity, and that the PLO from now on is going to have the same status in the United States as it has in Canada and in different countries in Western Europe. And so this is a really alarming.
We should remind people that the PLO, of course, is the Palestine Liberation Organization, a former terrorist group, now putatively running at least part of the Palestinian Authority. What again, would be the implications of conferring upon the PLO this kind of status?
Well, the most alarming and immediate implication is that it sends a signal about where the Obama administration is vis-a-vis the Palestinians, because the Palestinians right now, the PLO, their leader, Mahmoud Abbas, is refusing to have negotiations towards a peaceful settlement of the Palestinian conflict with Israel. And so he's saying there's no way that we're going to sign a peace treaty with Israel, no siree, Bob. And yet here are the Americans sending a very clear signal that they want to recognize a Palestinian state. And what that really means is that the Obama administration is signaling now explicitly that they are willing to consider recognizing a Palestinian state declared outside the framework of a peace treaty with Israel.
So
now
well, just to get down to this, if the Palestinians don't negotiate an agreement with Israel and simply announce that they are going to be an independent state, and I gather that the International Court of Justice has recently rendered a ruling on Kosovo that may have some bearing on all of this, what would the impact be on the ground for Israel and for American interests?
Well, for Israeli interests, it would be a catastrophe, because that would mean that there is an independent Palestinian state that is recognized by the United States, meaning recognized by everybody, that would be in a de facto, if not de jure, a state of war with Israel, because there is no Palestinian leader today that recognizes the right of the Jewish state to exist. And so if they don't recognize the right of the state of Israel, the Jewish state, to exist in the framework of a peace treaty from which a Palestinian state would emerge, then that means that the Palestinian state that would be unilaterally declared will be at a state of war with Israel, and in fact its government's credibility among the Palestinians themselves and throughout the Arab world will be based upon the dedication to the eventual destruction of Israel.
Yeah, and presumably the Israeli forces that are currently in parts of the West Bank, mm-hmm. which would presumably be part of, at least part of, if not the, virtually the whole of the newly recognized Palestine, would be therefore occupying a sovereign state recognized by the United States and presumably the UN and others. And the pressure, presumably, on Israel to withdraw would be excruciating, I guess.
It's not even just that. Think about the fact that the United States military, under General Keith Dayton, has been training, building a Palestinian military for the past 4 years. And now they have several battalions that are American-trained and incredibly capable combat-wise to fight Israel. They're presumably supposed to be fighting Hamas, but even Dayton allows that if they're not in a state within 2 years, that they're going to turn their weapons that they've been trained to use by the United States military on Israel. And so we have a situation where the United States is building, inventing a Palestinian army that is hostile to Israel and that will shoot its guns at Israel in the event that Israel doesn't give them what they want.
So what we're talking about at this point, Carolyn Glick, is a possibly incipient unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state recognized by the United States and other governments that will almost certainly, it sounds, catalyze a new conflict, and perhaps one that is far more dynamic and dangerous than what we've seen in the past, because you will have these elements within the Palestinian community operating with American training, if not actually American arms as well. Very frightening prospect. Listen, I want to segue quickly before we let you go, Carolyn Glick, to something else that you wrote recently, a fascinating piece, really, about American and Israeli elites and the extent to which they are disconnected from the rest of their populations and are working at cross purposes, really, with the vital interests of America and Israel.
That's right. You know, there was an excellent piece that was just published by the American Spectator by Professor Angelo Cordovilla about the American ruling class and talking about how there was this group of Americans that are disconnected from the rest of the country, and that really what they're involved in is trying to amass power in contravention of the interests of the American people. And it really got me thinking that, you know, he was talking about domestic policy, but this is also true in foreign policy, and we see it with really clearly in American Middle East policy, because for the past generation, successive American governments have been pushing for a Palestinian state in various ways. And every single time this has tried, it has failed and has destabilized the Middle East and has endangered American national security interests in the Middle East. And yet no matter who's in power, that's always the policy of the American government. Now the truth is that the Israelis play a role in the prolongation of this sort of demented foreign policy that that successive American administrations have been adopting, because the Israeli people now realize that this whole land for peace paradigm that is based on Israel giving up land and Arabs promising peace just leads to more war and more dead Israelis and more dead Arabs and bad all around. And so the Israelis, you know, in democratic elections have repeatedly stated that they oppose this. And yet there is an Israeli ruling class at well that works to subvert the will of the Israeli people. They work hand in glove with successive American administrations, with the State Department, to try to undermine the democratically elected government of Israel. We see this now with Obama, that there are these retired far left generals from the Israeli army that are meeting behind the back of the government with people who are affiliated with the National Security Council to try to tell them how Obama can undermine Netanyahu's political position in Israel.
This is really frightening. Carolyn Glick, we're going to have to let it go at that, I'm afraid. I really want to get you back to talk about this further, because these sorts of elites are going to get us into more trouble.
CarolynGlick.com.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Claudia Rosette next on the UN and Iran.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you
leaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to FeedThePig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this.
So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just $20 in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We are joined for this segment by our friend Claudia Rosette, the resident journalist at the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, who writes brilliantly in a number of outlets, pajamasmedia.com and Forbes.com among them. She is a journalist with considerable expertise in matters involving the UN. And so when issues arise like what is happening with respect to the rising influence, indeed, I'm afraid, increasing control of many aspects of the UN by the Organization of the Islamic Conference, an entity that we don't know very much about, we go to Claudia. So, Claudia, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. As always, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Frank. Good
now,
to be here.
Thank you. The Organization of the Islamic Conference is something, again, I have the feeling many Americans are totally ignorant of. Tell us a little bit about it, and particularly some of the activities that member states like Iran are engaged in at the UN and their implications.
The organization of the Islamic Conference is basically a lobbying bloc of Islamic member countries of the UN, or countries which have a substantial Muslim population and their governments have chosen to join. And it is headquartered in Saudi Arabia. Okay. To keep that in mind as I...
A clue, as they say.
A little more. Yeah, exactly. And, it has 57 members, which is already a bit of propaganda, because it actually doesn't have 56 countries that belong. It's 56 countries plus the Palestinian Observer. They list this as basically 57 members, which is forever being mistakenly cited as 57 countries belong, which is sort of prematurely making a done deal something which is still, has yet to, on the Palestinians' part, has yet to be earned.
Yes, we got into this a little bit earlier with our friend Carolyn Glick, a preemptive effort to recognize these folks as a state. But so the Organization of the Islamic Conference represents a substantial bloc at the UN, Claudia Rosette. What is it doing there with this membership influence and the money that the Saudis and others, the Iranians, have at their disposal?
Well, it's become probably the single most influential lobbying bloc at the UN, in the UN General Assembly. And as such, they have all sorts of clout. They've done things like, the Organization of the Islamic Conference was one of the forces behind last year's Durban Review Conference, the anti-Semitic exercise in Geneva, which was supposed to be about fighting racism, but was sort of a replay in a less successful form, if you could call it a success, of the hate-filled Durban Conference of 2001.
The Durban One Conference.
Yeah. They've been a major force pushing for a global gag on free speech in the name of fighting blasphemy, something which would be particularly terrible for people for Muslims who actually wish their countries to enter the modern age terms of democracy and freedom.
In that regard, Claudia Rosette, let's talk a little bit about this OIC, as they call themselves, the Organization of Islamic Conference Agenda, and the role the United States is now playing in promoting this I guess they call it Sharia blasphemy gag program through the Human Rights Council's deliberations of last year.
Oh gosh, we've joined the Bush administration refused to join what was supposed to be the reformed UN Human Rights Council, which has not actually improved in the way that it functions. The Obama administration decided last year to join with the idea of they'll fix it by working from within. That was already led to things, there have been a number of appalling things that have come out of that. And in the meantime, one of the trade-offs that the Obama administration made was behind the scenes to keep Iran off the Human Rights Council. The Obama administration made not a peep when Iran was seated on the Commission on Status for women, the rights of women at the UN.
A travesty.
And now, Frank, it's not strictly the Organization of the Islamic Conference that's been behind Iran. Iran lobbies as part of a regional group for its own, for what Iran itself is interested in. And, part of this is in concert with the OIC. Part of this is Iran, as qua Iran. But Iran has taken over, has at this point, has a staggeringly outsized presence on governing bodies of UN agencies, including some of the biggest ones everybody's heard of, UNICEF, the World Food Program, They sit on the governing council of the UN UNHCR, the UN Refugee Commission. They sit on the governing council of the UN Environment Program in Nairobi. They sit on the board of UN Habitat, the UN Settlements Agency in Nairobi. They sit on the board of the Food and Agriculture Organization, which last year they were chairing.
Let me just ask you, because this is a fantastically ominous litany you've just described. What does Iran do with the kind of influence that, as you say, is outsized? But what are the implications of that within the United Nations and for us?
Well, the implications are it gives them a certain clout, influence. You know, they're just one of, very often in some, on some boards, 36 member states out of the, but that's out of the 192 at the UN. The numbers on, of actual board members vary from one agency to another. But to be on the, one of these governing boards is to have both access to a lot of information about what the UN is doing and moving through its procurement systems, its immunity, its diplomatically immune networks around the world.
Yes.
So not something you really want rogue states handling. And it also gives them a significant say in how the UN spends your tax dollars, since America funds roughly a quarter of the UN budget and does the same with these, you know, that includes at many of these agencies, roughly a quarter tends to come from the U.S. So
wow.
Iran sits on the governing boards, passing judgment on, they're responsible at the UN for oversight, for guidance, for deciding how these agencies will operate, what their policies and strategies will be.
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible when you consider that Iran is under four sets of binding UN sanctions.
I was just going to say, Claudia Rosette, that this sounds as though it's a marvelous way of essentially insulating Iran from some of the pressure that the UN or its member states might try to bring against this rogue
Sure.
regime and terrorist state, nuclear aspirant, and so on.
Well, remember how Saddam Hussein did his horse trading
Yes.
with UN member states. So while the Security Council was debating how to control him, he was busy corrupting in whatever ways available were available to him, the UN itself. Well, here, one big question to which I do not have an answer, I would love to hear, well, I'd love to know more, is, and how did Iran get itself on so many boards? What exactly was the price? Because these things don't just happen.
Yes.
You know, you don't look and find that Belgium has a similar presence. So what's gone on? What's been promised? What's changed hands? What's been the quiet understanding? And I'm seeing no attention. The U.S. mission to the U.N. appears to be paying no attention to this. We've heard nothing.
Well, Claudia Rosette, we're going to have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. This sounds like a marvelous new target for your incredible investigative reporting skills, and having broken the oil for food program story and Saddam Hussein's machinations in the UN, I know that you're up to this, and we look forward to hearing more from you about all of it here at Secure Freedom Radio in the near future. Thank you so much for joining us. Claudia Rosette of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Next up, Congressman Ted Poe, one of the leaders in Congress on immigration matters, tells us what the court ruling on Arizona's new law means for you.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he
should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined for a very important segment about a very important subject, and that is immigration in the wake of a decision by a federal judge yesterday to impose an injunction on important parts of the legislation that Arizona felt compelled to adopt after the United States government had abjectly failed at the federal level to enforce the law. And to discuss this, we are joined, I'm very happy to say, by Congressman Ted Poe, a man with extraordinary expertise in matters involving immigration. He represents Houston, the surrounding area from Texas, and has done so in the United States Congress with distinction, I should say, following his service as a judge in Texas. And Congressman Poe, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm really very pleased to have you here, especially bringing your background with immigration matters as a member of the Immigration Reform Caucus, member of the Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee on Immigration and Border Security, and a member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. Great, great credentials. Tell us what we should make, if you would, sir, decision by this judge and where it's likely to leave things in the immediate future.
Judge Bolton ruled that an injunction against the Arizona law would be granted because the federal government would suffer irreparable harm if it wasn't granted. The harm, she said, to the federal government was twofold. One, if the Arizona officials enforced immigration laws, they would arrest more people and they would turn them over to federal authorities, and that would cause an undue burden on the federal system. And that would be the irreparable harm, number one. And number two is it may hinder our foreign policy in relation with other nations because the federal government is exclusively responsible for foreign relations. And the enforcement of the law by Arizona may hinder that. That was the harm to the federal government. She allowed portions of the bill to take effect, such as no sanctuary cities in Arizona. People can sue those cities. No one can stand around and be picked up by drivers to work day labor rules. So some of the provisions were upheld. Her ruling requires an injunction. This is just stopping the law. This is not really a ruling on the constitutionality of it. The stopping of the law must, an injunction, must be viewed from what is best in the public interest. And I think that's where she got it wrong. The public interest in Arizona is allow Arizona to enforce the law because the federal government refuses to do so. And now the law, this her ruling, the injunction, will be appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and then eventually to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will make an ultimate determination.
So, Congressman Ted Poe, we're looking at parts of the law going into effect today, as I understand it, but in a way, the parts that had the teeth, specifically this ability to apprehend people and establish their immigration status, will be suspended until a higher court offers its decision, I guess. What is your estimation, sir, based on your, as I say, considerable expertise in these matters, of this kind of turnabout? What will it do for the immigration problem, that is to say, people coming over the border illegally, and what will it do for efforts to impede them from coming over the border in places including like your state of Texas?
Well, it'll encourage more unlawful entry into the United States. That's why eight other nations besides the United States joined the federal government in suing Arizona. And those were eight nations that have illegals and continue to allow illegals to come into our country. So it'll encourage illegal conduct. This type of lawsuit, an injunction, moves faster than a regular lawsuit. So we're looking at probably 9 months before the Supreme Court would rule, maybe a little bit less. So those portions of the law are on hold until that time. And it also will do something else. People who are mad about the federal government not enforcing border security, like people in Arizona and in Texas, now are going to say and are saying, okay, federal government, you sued a state to prevent enforcement of border security. Now, people will demand more that the federal government do its job and enforce border security. And I don't think that the federal government's going to do any better job than they have in the past. So the people who are want border security will expect more out of the federal government, but they're going to continue to fight to allow states to have that authority as well, because it's a crisis in many states, including Texas.
Yeah. Congressman Poe, when you look at the crisis, one of the things that we've been talking about here a bit at Secure Freedom Radio is the evidence that in addition to simply the porousness of our border being with great regularity penetrated by people who come here for economic opportunities and the like, is that we now know that there are people operating on the other side of the border who are not simply interested in bringing illegal aliens in, or even for that matter just bringing in drugs, but who are bringing in people who have terrorism as part of their purpose, specifically with the arrest of an individual, Jamil Nasser, in Mexico, as you know, associated with Hezbollah. This would seem to me to enormously amp up the stakes involved in this kind of byplay in the court system. What is your sense?
Well, that is really the primary purpose of Arizona trying to take matters in their own hands, because of the crime element, the terrorist element, the security, national security issue, that's part of their whole concerns. Everybody in the world knows that the greatest country on earth does not secure its borders. So if they want to come here for any purpose, many of them coming for illegal purposes, to do us harm, to set up drug cartels, gang activity, all of those things, they go to Mexico, and they then work their way from Mexico into the United States. And it's countries, China, the Middle East, South America, from all over the world know that. And not all of these people, as you say, they're not coming over here looking for work. They're coming over here for other malicious purposes. And this ruling by the federal judge will just encourage that conduct.
Let me ask you, Congressman Poe, as it happens, I'm talking to you from Dallas, Texas right now, and I was listening this morning to a report that there may be some implications of this decision by Judge Bolton for a similar kind of effort being considered here in Texas to adopt legislation that would enforce the federal law at the state level. Do you have a read on what your own state of Texas might do in this regard? And again, what might the implications be for failure to act?
It's still a very important issue in Texas. In spite of the judge's incorrect ruling, Texas legislature will go in session in January. And this is one of the things that people want the Texas legislature to address immediately, because of the fact the federal government doesn't really do its job. Now, there are some judicial precedent for moving forward with the Arizona type law. Our own Supreme Court, the United States, in 2005 ruled in a case called MENA that local police officers could arrest, after they had arrested somebody, they could ask them questions about their legal status, even if the police officer did not suspect that they were illegals. That's already the law of the land. And so that is will be an encouragement to states to go ahead and move forward, that this injunction by the judge was incorrect. And so I think Texas will move forward with some kind of legislation for border security.
Well, let's hope it does. I can only say, from the perspective of someone who is watching these things from a national security point of view, the efforts that you're making, Congressman Ted Poe, and I think your counterparts at the state level as well as at the federal level are making to try to secure our borders and to counter this real and growing threat from their porousness is of the utmost urgency, and I hope, despite the setback of this court ruling, that you'll redouble your efforts. Well, that's it for this installment. I thank you, sir, for joining us. We're going to let you go and say goodbye to all of our listeners, and hope that they will join us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, for all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio, this is Frank Gaffney.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.